So in Sunday school this term, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. They're there on the handout, Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we've been trying to learn that what we should do with the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we should expect the Lord to work, you know, by his Holy Spirit in us as people who are joined in union with the Saviour, Jesus. And therefore we should pray for the Lord to work. You know, Lord, grow in me, grow in us these graces because you want to make me like Christ. Yeah, he wants Christ to be formed in us. And third, we learn from the Lord Jesus. It's in him that the fruit of the Spirit are perfectly seen. He is the Spirit-filled man above all else. And as we look at him, we become like him. And as we look at the fruit of the Spirit in the life of Jesus, we will learn what it is in daily life to sow seeds that will grow into that fruit. Yeah, through words and deeds, which over time become habits, and in the Spirit's hands yield a harvest of righteousness and fruit. And this week we're thinking on Christ's peace. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can do nothing apart from you. Thank you that when you fill us with your Spirit and join us to your Son, you do so permanently, irrevocably. Thank you that at this moment in time, you are with us. Please would you be with us for our good and for our blessing. And by your word and your Holy Spirit, would you teach us and grow us. And particularly we pray for and long for the fruit of Christ's peace. And we ask that in his name. Amen.
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 Is anybody able to share? Apologies.
Brilliant. Peace is at the very heart of the Bible. Many times we're told of our God that he is the God of peace. The covenant, that bond, that relationship which the Lord establishes between him and his people, it's said to be the covenant of peace. Our Saviour Jesus, who fulfills that covenant and draws us into that covenant relation, he is the Prince of Peace. The gospel by which we are saved is the gospel of peace. So in other words, we can say that the Lord's plan is all about peace. We can say that the very being and character of God himself is peace. So question, what then does it mean for God the Holy Spirit to grow in us the fruit of Jesus' peace? What does it mean for us to be men and women of peace like Jesus? Broadly, the Bible describes three kinds of peace which are granted to the Christian, and they flow one to another. So first and most fundamentally, there is peace with God, which leads to peace of heart, which in turn leads to peace with others. So we're going to spend just a few minutes on each of those. Peace with God first. Open up Ephesians chapter 2, please. More than anything else, you and I, every single person on this planet, our greatest need is for peace with God. The root cause of all strife and enmity and hostility and conflict that we see, be it war in the world or war in our families or internal war, you know, dis-ease in our minds, the root cause of all of those things is conflict with God. So Ephesians 2 verse 3, we read this, talking about the Ephesian Christians before they were saved. They were in their sins, they followed the world. Then verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And that last little phrase there, it reminds us of this, that all people by nature, we are at war with God. We are children of wrath. You know, our relationship with our Creator by nature is one of hostility. From our end, sinfully, our nature is to seek our kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. That is our enmity toward him. But he, in his righteousness and his holiness, responds in holy wrath. You know, our paternity is wrath. We are children of wrath in that sense. Now, obviously, the glorious truth of the gospel for Christian people is that the Lord Jesus came to make enemies into friends. So look down a few verses, Ephesians 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So the very heart of the gospel, in Christ's body, through the cross, the Lord Jesus, the one who always knew peace with his God and Father, instead bore enmity. He carried that deserved wrath, the result of which is peace with God. You know, the great Bible word, reconciliation, turning enemies into friends. That is our first and fundamental answer to what does the Bible say about peace. A preacher I heard talk about this recently, he sometimes talks about the weather inside your head. I think that was a rather vivid expression to me. We all have weather inside of our head. It's a great expression. And the point for us now is this: what difference does peace with God make to the weather inside my head or the weather inside your head? So that's our second heading. Turn over. Peace of hearts or peace of mind, inner peace. When we think about peace of heart or peace of mind, Christian peace is the heart at rest in God. Christian peace is a confidence that the Lord is with you. So the peace of Christ, it is actually a relationship granted by Christ. Now let's think about the Lord Jesus for a minute. I mentioned to someone last week that we were going to be thinking this week about peace. And his response was, oh, peace and quiet, I hope. We all have that feeling, don't we? Unfortunately, that's not what Jesus is talking about. And when you look at Jesus' life, you cannot say of Christ's life that it was a life of peace and quiet. It was certainly not a suffering-free life. The peace of Christ does not mean peace and quiet. Nor is it that Christ never felt extreme emotion. You know, you sometimes see those awful statues of Buddha. And he has this sort of perma-grin stuck on his face. I do wonder whether sometimes Christian people think that peace or joy means that we ought to have a kind of Buddha-like rictus grin on our faces, regardless of what is going on in your life. Now, the Lord Jesus' experience, his emotional life, was not like that. So he wept at Lazarus's grave. In Gethsemane, he knew the dread of the cross. And yet, Jesus' heart never knew those tantrums and fits that my heart and mind and your heart and mind experience. Why? Because he knew his God and Father. He knew that he was never alone. Peace with God fundamentally is not the gift of a feeling, it is the gift of a relationship. And we can see that actually in Ephesians 2 and verse 18. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So what do you have when you have peace with God? Answer, you have God as your Father. So when I know that God is my Father, then actually everything is changed. When I experience those tantrums and fits of heart and mind, you know, when the weather in my head goes kind of ballistic, well, that happens because I forget that God has become my Father. Do you remember what is the most common command in the whole Bible? The most common command, and I'm told by quite a long way, is... Yes, do not be afraid. Yeah. I'm quite often afraid. I suspect that you are quite often afraid. We all have fears. They might be various in what we fear or the way we fear, depending on our age, our stage, our temperament, what's going on in our lives. But we have fears because we forget that our God and Creator has become our Father. So we're not on our own in our own little heads, though we sometimes think we are. We're not on our own in our own little mini universes, desperately trying to make it all work. But sometimes we behave like that is the case. So the peace of Christ, when we're thinking about this inner peace, this peace of heart, it comes from knowing God as Father. And it's a fight, isn't it? Lots of us, I think all of us in different ways, we know what it is to be anxious. Sometimes we feed our anxiety. Sometimes anxiety just seems to take us over. And in those moments, we know that we've got a loving Heavenly Father. But in the other half of our soul, we're kind of like practical atheists. I know that I am. You know, we imagine God is not there or he's not my Father in heaven. And Ephesians 2:18, it tells us what we can do with this Father. Ephesians 2:18 says that we have access to the Father. So we can go to God in heaven, who's with us every second of our day. And we can go to him as our Father, the one who loves us. And we can come with our cares and our fears and our circumstances, and we can tell him about it all. And when we leave our cares with him, it does not mean that we will have an easy life. You know, the Lord Jesus, he said things like, you will have tribulation. He said things like, whoever would come after me, well, you're coming after the one who walked the way of the cross. But when I leave my cares with him, you know, when I use that access to God, when I enter the throne of heaven in prayer, so when I sow to the Spirit in this particular way, you know, when you or I, when we knock on heaven's door, he does like to leave his peace to guard the door of my heart. And that's something in which we all can grow. So that's the second answer to, well, Bible, what do you say when you talk about peace? Third, peace with others. So peace with God, fundamental. Out of which comes a peace of heart and mind, because that God is now your Father, from which flows peace in relationships, and most fundamentally in relationships within the church. So Ephesians 2, and look at verse 14. For he, Christ himself, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Now he's talking there about that ancient colossal wall, Berlin Wall, Belfast Peace Wall, Wall of Hostility. Think of the wall that runs between Israel and Gaza. Talking about the wall between Jew and Gentile. You know, those who were near to God in Old Testament times, those who were far away. You know, those poor benighted heathens and pagans like us for the main. But in the Church of Christ, Jewish Christian, Gentile Christian, saved by the same Saviour, the war is ended and that wall is torn down. One new man has been created. Peace has come. And the Church of Christ is meant to be a place of peace. There actually is a given peace in the gospel between brothers and sisters in Christ. But that peace, it's also a battle, isn't it? And so that's why Paul says, Ephesians 4, verse 3, just have a look over there, Ephesians 4, verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So peace in our relationships, especially in the church, it is an active thing. It's not a passive thing. We're not called to do nothing. We might sometimes think, mightn't we, that just keeping that person at arm's length, that's enough. Well, actually, no. It's an active thing, maintaining, seeking, pursuing the peace of Christ in the body of Christ. You might want to think, is there someone with whom you need to pursue peace? Do you know that there's a damaged relationship where we need to sow to the Spirit? We need to pray and seek to pursue peace in that relationship. Now, the Bible is wise and realistic. There's no guarantee we'll be able to live in peaceful relations with all. So Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So the application there is, don't be the one who destroys peace in that relationship. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, and this is such an encouragement, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So it's the gospel way, isn't it, to lay aside our preferences. It's the gospel way to lay aside even our rights. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. So just imagine this scene. This is from Luke 22. While Jesus was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jonathan Landry Cruz, this lovely little book which I've recommended before, he comments on those verses. See peacemaking in action here. Unlike the disciples, Jesus does not respond in defence. Peace is not at the cost of truth or godliness, but it can be at the cost of our own comfort, reputation, perhaps even safety. The hand of peace never reaches for the weapons of this world, be they physical clubs or Facebook comments. The hand of peace reaches out to restore, like Christ in the garden, reaching out to heal those who are wounded, even if they deserved it. So, I'm going to pause there. Let's take a few minutes with whoever you're sitting with. There are some questions just to help us think about peace of heart and then peace in our relationships. Take a few minutes on each of those. Go for it.